Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Karen Scharf, co-chair of the Working Families Party and executive director of Citizen Action of New York, a statewide grassroots organization that fights for a slate of progressive issues, including keeping big money out of New York politics. Citizen Action has 30,000 members in 8 chapters and affiliates across New York. Welcome, Karen Scharf.
Thank you.
Always great to have you on the program. So the big news, of course, is that Citizen Action has endorsed former Sex and the City actress and education advocate Cynthia Nixon in the race for governor of New York. Last time, they endorsed Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. So what gives? What's the difference?
So first, let me just clarify, a slight clarification. Last time, we endorsed people voting on the Working Families Party line, which Andrew Cuomo was on, but our endorsement was really for the party more so than the governor. But the party did endorse Andrew Cuomo last time, and I did vote for that as a state committee member of the WFP. And I think that really since the governor first ran in 2010, we've had strong concerns about a lot of his policies and a lot of his views, and he hasn't really shared our vision for New York. He's come closer to it over the years. The second term has been better than the first in terms of his activities, but our members all across the state, our chapters all across the state, really want to have a governor and a lieutenant governor that have a bold vision for New York and who we can trust to always make the choices that will benefit working families all across the state and communities of color all across the state. And that's why we've endorsed Cynthia Nixon for governor of New York and Jumaane Williams for lieutenant governor, because we feel that the two of them, much better than the incumbents, have that kind of bold vision and really... And we have faith in them and trust in them that every decision they make will be on behalf of ordinary New Yorkers in every part of New York State. Whereas we feel that the incumbent has had a history of really being unwilling to do things that are not to the benefit of his big campaign donors and has been unwilling to take on the wealthiest New Yorkers at times when that's what the rest of New York and all the rest of us actually need him to do.
Karen Scharf, I guess the question here is, you don't really think that she can win, do you?
I absolutely do.
Tell me how that might happen.
So we're talking, she first has to win a Democratic primary and then a general election. So speaking to the primary first, Democratic primary voters, like our members, are really frustrated with the way things are right now in New York State. They're frustrated that people can't afford their rents and their homes. They're frustrated that our public schools have been starved and underfunded year after year. They're frustrated that we have jails that are keeping innocent people locked up because they can't afford cash bail. They're frustrated at the state of New York right now, and they want to see a change. And Cynthia Nixon, she may be an actress and a celebrity, but she's also an activist, and she's really running from her activist roots. And that's what we like to see. We like to see people run for office who are running because they have a passion for what's going to make New York better and for what's going to make our communities stronger and healthier. And that's what Cynthia's got, and that's what Jumaane's got. And I think they both have a very strong chance to win because it's what Democratic voters, and eventually all voters, but for the primary, the Democratic voters really want to see in candidates. We're at a different moment in time right now in this country, and it's true in our state, too. People are fed up with politics as usual. They're fed up with corruption. They're fed up with a politics that's driven by the needs of the wealthy against the needs of the rest of us.
Well, you know, you said you absolutely did think that she could win. On the other hand, the polling on her, admittedly very early, shows him oceans and eons and universes above where she is in the polls.
There's no question it's an uphill battle. Look, he's a popular incumbent. He's got $30 million. He's going to have the support of most of the major institutional forces in the state, including the state Democratic Party, which will take sides despite the fact that they're not supposed to. And so he starts with a huge advantage. On the other hand, this really comes down to how individual voters want to vote. It's very early for polling to reflect that because people, for the most part, don't know her yet. As people get to know Cynthia, they're going to see that she's shares their values, that she has a commitment to the needs of, as I said, ordinary New Yorkers, to working families and to communities of colors all across the state, that she does have an understanding of upstate, not just downstate, and that she's prepared to make the hard decisions on behalf of all of us and at the expense of the 1%. And I think that that will, voter by voter, turn voters around and enable her to win the primary.
Well, maybe you're right, but let me go to the Working Families Party now.
Okay.
You and I have a history on this. as to whether or not the Working Families Party will eschew an endorsement for Andrew Cuomo and go for Cynthia Nixon. Now, let's go over the ground rules. The Working Families Party now is very important in that it may not be the largest party by any means, but it could hold the balance of power in an election. What are the chances that the party will, part A of my question is, what will, are the chances that the party will endorse Nixon? And two, explain how the party is sort of made up. The labor unions give the party a lot of money. The labor unions are for Cuomo, but the voters in the party have a say. Do you mean to say that the party will potentially forego all the money from the labor unions?
So let me start by saying that it's impossible to predict right now for sure how the party is going to go. Now that Citizen Action has endorsed Cynthia Nixon and Jemani Williams, we will be pushing hard to lobby all the state committee members to get their votes for Cynthia and for Jemani to get the party line.
Right.
And New York Communities for Change, which is another active community organization, the party has also endorsed both Jemani and Cynthia and will be working with us to line up state committee votes. Obviously, as you say, a number of the unions in the party are equally working hard to line up votes for Governor Cuomo.
And apparently Cuomo is very, very anxious to get that nomination.
He certainly would very much like to have it, yes. And so it's a... It's democracy. It's beautiful. The state committee gets to decide in the end. The nature of state election law is that for statewide races, it is directly a vote of the entire state committee. Nobody can overrule that. So the state committee members who come from every congressional district in the state come together in a meeting and take a vote. And that's the determining vote for the party, regardless of what anyone else wants to think. And so in the end, it's going to come up to who can get, you know, over 50% plus one of those state committee votes. And I think it's very... So it's hard to predict because obviously there's very strong forces in the party on both sides.
Well, you're
I don't
very
think
strong.
That
you're very strong. What is your assessment of all of those single voters and Andrew Cuomo?
I think we have a good shot, but I'm not going to say that we're going to win because I don't know yet. But I think we have a good shot because a lot of the state committee members of the party share the same frustration that my members have and that our board had when they made the decision and that I'm saying that voters across New York have and that we're not getting a state government right now that is doing all that it possibly could for the people of New York. And people want to see a change in that. And so I'm hopeful that that will allow us to win the vote. But I know that people, you know, people have conflicting opinions within the state committee. Now, I do want to address one other comment that you made, which is the vote 4 years ago, which did end up going for the governor, was also a hotly contested vote. And it was not decided because of the funding of the labor unions, because in the end, the unions were always going to vote for Cuomo. And there was a set of people in the state committee who were always going to vote for Zephyr. And the block in the middle were people who...
That's Zephyr Teachout for those who were...
Right, who ran last time.
Have no historical memory.
Yes, who ran 4 years ago and got 34% of the vote with a very underfunded campaign. The people in the middle had to make a decision based on the trade-off between Zephyr, who was... a champion for change, and the governor who was promising to create democratic unity and enact a progressive agenda. And a lot of us made a decision at the time, myself included, that we were going to go for the pragmatic choice of winning back the state Senate, having democratic unity, and then being able to pass our agenda the following year. That failed. And the governor is proposing the same thing this year. Let's have democratic unity. Let's elect a democratic Senate. He has done better so far this year because he actually has had the IDC announce that they're dissolving before the election. But, you know, we don't know whether to trust them or not because they had promised 4 years ago and then went back to being the IDC. So it's kind of the same argument. But what I think is different this year is that, at least it's been true for Citizen Action, I think it will be true for many organizations and voters, is that we are tired of the kind of pragmatism that leads to the same old bad policies and the same old domination by big money.
And Karen Scharf, don't forget de Blasio's role in all of this.
Yes,
in
very
comes
important.
The progressive mayor of New York,
yes.
And he announces that you've got to nominate Cuomo. What in hell was that all about? That's, because since that time, those guys have been trying to destroy each other.
That's absolutely a very good point, because in the end, quite honestly, the mayor is what swayed the party for the governor. Because as I said, there were two blocks that were very set. There was an undecided block in the middle. And speaking for myself, I was persuaded by the mayor. And a lot of us were in that position where we thought that, you know, he was making a good point. We wanted to help him achieve his goals. And we were persuaded by the mayor. And he's obviously not going to do that this year. He's no longer advocating for the governor. And I don't know why he thought then that he could successfully work with the governor, but he did. The governor immediately, once he won the endorsement with the mayor's help, started turning against the mayor. So I can't explain that. Yes, can't explain that. But he's ever since just been tried every possible thing he could to undermine the mayor. I think almost the opposite of the payback you'd expect.
Yeah. So look, Karen Scharf, the governor is a very political animal. As you know, I interviewed Papa for many, many years on the radio and got to see Andrew at work running campaigns, doing that kind of thing. So Andrew now moves left. As fast as his feet will carry him, he moves left. He does all kinds of stuff, which a lot of people are like he's still doing it. So should we judge a politician based on what their political moves are, as opposed to an assessment of who they really are?
I think character is crucial in politics because in the end, people have to make a lot of decisions. And you're not there to see every decision, and the voters can't hold politicians accountable for every decision. So we need people who we can trust to make the right choices for ordinary New Yorkers, for working families, for communities of color all across the state in every decision that they make. I think it's great that the governor is doing good things right now for the working people of New York. I'm glad that Cynthia's candidacy is pressuring him to do that. But we can't trust what will happen after the election. We need someone who has—
Why not? Okay, I'm going to interject.
Yes.
And just simply say, why not? You know, after the election, what's the next election for him? President of the United States. We know he's interested in that. And then he has to move back the other way as fast as his legs can carry him, because he is basically a fairly conservative politician, and he has to satisfy the rest of the country.
Yep, and I think that that's again goes to your core point. Totally what I agree with, which is that we have to have— in our politicians, I think this has always been true, but I feel it more now than ever. We have to be electing people who share our values as voters so that they will do the right thing in every decision that they make. And that's why I want to see Cynthia Nixon as governor, because she is somebody who will make every decision based on what's best for working families across New York State, for communities across New York State. She's not going to care what's best for the 1%. She's not going to care what's best for campaign donors. She is going to make the right decisions, and we can trust her to do that no matter what the political ramifications.
But what if Cuomo wins the Democratic nomination, Cynthia Nixon wins the Working Families Party nomination, and an attractive candidate like Mark Molinaro comes along, a sort of Pataki heavyweight or whatever, and comes along and runs? Won't the working families designation mean that Molinaro might win?
First of all, Cynthia's going to win the primary, so it's not really a problem. The real problem is Andrew Cuomo is going to be on the independence line and the Women's Equality Party line, and is he going to be a spoiler and elect Molinaro?
Well, that's a good rhetorical question. But the Working Families Party will be a place which some progressives in New York will certainly go to in this election, and it could end up defeating Cuomo.
I think in this year, in a blue state, the Democratic nominee, regardless of the year of Trump. In a year where people are rebelling against Trump, where we're going to have a blue wave across the whole country, and in a blue state like New York, where there's an overwhelming Democratic registration advantage, I think regardless of the minor party lines, the Democratic nominee is going to be the governor, is going to get elected.
We are talking to Karen Scharf, who is the executive director of Citizens Action, but also co-chair of the Working Families Party in New York State. So we know that education is huge for Cynthia Nixon. That's her reputation, because we're hearing around here, well, she doesn't have any political experience, to which I respond sometime. You mean political experience with guys like Prococo and Don Howard?
Exactly.
You know, people like that.
Exactly.
What is it exactly that makes political experience so important?
I'm with you 100% on that. Cynthia, I think of Cynthia more as a long-term, lifelong activist than as a celebrity. It's great that she's a celebrity because it gets us more attention to our issues and to the campaign. But she's running because she has fought for equitable funding for our schools for the past 17 years. And I've worked with her that entire time and watched her put her passion into that. She was there when people were getting arrested at City Hall in 2002. She was there when we did the school bus tour of upstate New York, drawing attention to the plight of schools all across the urban and rural areas of upstate who are underfunded. She's been there with us consistently for 17 years, fighting for the very thing that Andrew Cuomo's refused to do, which is adequately fund our schools. And so she's coming to this with a lot of knowledge.
We do spend more money in New York State than anywhere else, don't we, on education?
We don't spend it in the right places. We don't spend it the right way in terms of which schools are getting it. And we also don't spend enough for what our schools actually need in order to educate kids who come to school at the disadvantages of poverty and all kinds of other disadvantages that's coming into the educational system. And what we need, we had a a lot of research that developed a foundation aid formula that determined exactly what schools needed to succeed. And that formula was passed by Governor Spitzer in 2007 as a result of a lot of work by Cynthia Nix and the Alliance for Quality Education, Citizen Action, and lots of other groups. And that formula has not been implemented. It's on the books, and they don't fund it. If that formula were funded, it would meet the scientifically, mathematically determined needs of our schools, and we're not doing it. And that's part of why Cynthia's running for a number of reasons. She has a vision way beyond education, but that's one of them, because the reason we don't do it, the reason we don't adequately fund our schools, is because we're not willing to ask the wealthiest New Yorkers and the wealthiest corporations to pay a fair share of taxes. Cynthia's prepared to do that and to fund our schools, but also to fund the other desperate needs that our communities have, whether it's safe drinking water, good the MTA, safe roads, our healthcare system, all of the different needs that New Yorkers have. We need to invest in our communities right now. We need to invest in our communities, and she's prepared to do that. And so I think she's got the experience that's needed to bring in the values and vision and guts and courage to take on the special interests and the elite and do what New Yorkers need. I also think you're right about experience. A lot of times experience is inside government is not always a good thing. We've seen what's happened with Governor Cuomo's experience. We have, you know, we have high-level staff of his taking bribes. We have, even in the normal legal course of business, the donor's interest taking precedence over the voters in so many state decisions in state government from top to bottom. And we have decisions being made that are not in the interest of ordinary New Yorkers.
Okay, let's go to two other places. Let's talk about the state Senate, which is very important here. Working Families, I know, has had a real interest in taking back those seats from the Republicans and making in blue state New York with all the blue, you know, with the overwhelming numbers of Democrats, Senate reflective. So I want to just spend a little time on this because then I want to go to ethics. What are your chances, do you think, of taking back the state Senate?
I think they're good. Again, blue wave year is helpful to us. We've had a couple, the past two cycles have been particularly bad cycles for Democrats in New York. So this is good that we're coming into a year where we can expect strong Democratic turnout, which is
crucial.
Because
of Trump.
Because of Trump. So that strong Democratic turnout can make a big difference. A lot of these districts are swing districts, and it really is a turnout question more than a persuasion question with voters. We, you know, are at right now at of the 63 senators. We're right now after the special. If the special elections go well on April 24th, we'll be at 32 Democrats counting Simcha Felder. If he goes with the Democrats, he's technically a Democrat. We need to pick up some seats to have a solid Democratic majority. I think a lot of those seats on Long Island, where the districts really are Democratic districts, with if there's good turnout, we are going to win some Senate seats, and there's some Hudson Valley seats we could win as well.
I hate to do this to you, but are you offended by Simcha Felder? I mean, here's a guy who says, I don't want to be, I want my constituency to have a different set of rules for the way they educate their kids than what we insist on for everybody else in New York State.
Yeah, I don't think that's good for any child. Every child deserves to have a quality education and to learn our state has some good basic guidelines for what kids need to learn in school, and every child needs to be able to have a school that meets those guidelines.
But this guy really does seem to be the deciding vote in so much because somehow he's arrived at the point where he can insist on anything and get it.
That's why we've got to pick up some more seats. We can't live with that situation. We've got to win some more seats in November so that we come into January of 2019 with a solid Democratic majority, and we can lose a vote here and a vote there on different issues, and it won't matter.
Okay, let's talk about ethics. Karen Scharf, the ethical situation in New York is beyond bad at this stage. We have a governor who talks a good game, but then it doesn't happen. And we all know that he has so much power in New York that if he had wanted real ethics reform, he would have gotten it. But then he might not have $31 million in the bank.
You know, Citizen Action has long had as one of our top priorities comprehensive campaign finance reform, because we believe that the problems in government stem from the fact that our elections are controlled by money. A public funding system with small donors' funds being matched by a public fund would allow people to run for office and win with only small donations. And that is critical, because if people run for office and win with small donations and matching public funds, they're accountable to the voters and nobody else. The reality is right now, if you run for office, you have to raise money for rich people. And if you have to raise money from rich people, you have to figure out how do you run for re-election and not lose those contributions. So every single person who runs for office, and the more expensive the office, the more this is true, has no choice but to cater to their rich donors. We've got to change the system. system. It's not so much the individuals. It's really the system that needs to be changed.
Well, yeah. And while you're on that subject, what parts of that system do you want to see changed?
The most fundamental thing is to have a small donor matching system so people can, as I said,
like they do in New York City.
Like in New York City, like in Connecticut, like in Maine. We have systems where people can raise money from small donations from average voters, and then the matching funds make it be enough money to win. And that way, you're only accountable to the voters. There are other changes that could be helpful, like closing the LLC loophole and some things that lowering the limits of how much any individual can give. But those things don't fundamentally change the bad dynamic that I have to go ask rich people to fund my campaign if I want to win. If we don't change that core dynamic, nothing else really is going to fundamentally change our problem.
So explain the LLC situation, will you please?
So right now, New York has this weird loophole where if you set up a limited liability corporation, an LLC, which anyone can do, and you can set up as many as you want, each one of those corporations, instead of being subject to the corporate giving limits, is subject to the individual giving limits. So if I want to set up 10 LLCs, I can give 10 times as much as any individual can give. And the giving limits are so high for individuals already that that's a lot of money. So each LLC can give, I think it's now something like $60,000 to the governor. Wow. So you can fund your campaign off of just LLCs pretty much. And that allows people who are willing to do what those large, either large companies or large or wealthy individuals who make the LLCs want to do, that becomes the driving force. And those LLCs right now are heavily driven by real estate and developer interests. So real estate developers and real estate companies in New York City have lots of LLCs, give lots of money through them, and thereby make sure that we have state policies that are bad for tenants and homeowners.
So how much does the Joe Prococo thing, you know, the idea that Andrew Cuomo's top guy, the man he called his third brother that Mario loved the most, gets convicted on 3 felony counts, that doesn't mean it won't get overturned. We've seen that happen before. But how much does it hurt the governor?
I think it, for those who were not aware, I think it reveals the way that state government operates in general, which is that so much is done by personal favors and personal access. And even if we put aside, people could say, you know, Joe Prococo was greedy and, you know, most people aren't going to take bribes. And I think that's true. Most people wouldn't go to that level, would not go to illegal activity. But what we saw in a lot of the trial is that just the normal course of business, the Todd Howe, who's a friend, sending an email saying, talk to my friend and then give my friend the contract, that normal course of business that's all done through personal relationships and that then favors campaign donors who build those relationships is the way the state is just generally run. And that part is legal. And that's pretty much of a big problem.
And that hasn't seemed to hurt Andrew Cuomo.
It has not. So far, the polling is not showing the effect of it. I think as voters become more aware and as we have another round of trials, which are coming up around the upstate development in Utica, Syracuse and Buffalo, people will see more and more the ways in which this is not just one person, but a whole way of doing business.
Are you upset by the fact that the president of the United States is a New Yorker?
I'm upset that he's president of the United States, regardless of where he's from. It's still, as much as I like to pretend I'm a political pundit and know things, I never predicted it, and I still cannot understand how that man got elected president of the United States.
Well, we do know that the progressive groups, quite often in the old days, were, you know, a little bit more favorable towards the Russians or to the Soviets than they are now. Is that still true?
I don't even know how to answer that question. I think I'm against foreign interference in our elections, no matter where it comes from. Russia right now is, you know, run by a dictator, and he obviously has an interest in helping potential dictators all across the world, and we've got to fight back against that. And that should be a nonpartisan issue in the United States. And I'm very, you know, disappointed that the Republicans don't see the incredible danger to our democracy that we're facing right now.
Karen Schroff, I'm going to give you 1 minute to say anything you like.
I urge all of your listeners to vote for Cynthia Nixon and Jumaane Williams for governor and lieutenant governor. This is going to be a very, very important race that's going to determine the future of New York, and it gives us a real opportunity for a rare and real opportunity to have a governor and lieutenant governor that will fight every day for the future of New Yorkers.
It's been great to have Karen Scharf, Executive Director of Citizens Action, as well as co-chair of the Working Families Party with us. Karen, let's see how much of what you've predicted comes true. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.